This is Shambhala Sun, editor of web publications Rod Mead Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. Yoga and Buddhism, they seem like confluent practices, but not everyone who practices one practices the other. Should you? That's the subject of this short talk with yoga and Zen teacher Frank Jude Boccio, who contributed Taking Mindfulness to the Mat in our July 2009 Yoga and Buddhism issue. We've also asked Frank Jude to moderate an online discussion wherein you can raise your own questions about yoga and Buddhism to him, and he'll respond. So once you've gotten introduced to him via this Shambhala Sun audio clip, why not leave a question for him on Shambhala Sunspace? As you'll hear, Frank Jude is a friendly guide to anyone who wants to understand how yoga and Buddhism dovetail. Frank Jude, given that our current July issue has a yoga and Buddhism theme, I wonder if you could speak as a practitioner of both as to why meditators should consider doing yoga and yogis should consider meditating. We don't have to pick sides, do we?
Absolutely not. I don't think there are even sides to choose between. The Buddha was a yogi. And, you know, in the traditions like the Vipassana tradition and Tibetan traditions, this is overtly stated by calling practitioners yogis. I think the question is should hatha yogis consider meditating? And, the answer is absolutely, because hatha yoga traditionally has always been affiliated with the Raja Yoga, or the meditation side of the yoga tradition. It's actually been said within the tradition that if you practice the asanas of Hatha Yoga without the meditation of Raja Yoga, the asanas can become an obstacle to liberation. And after all, that's what yoga is about. It's a moksha shastra, a liberation teaching. They become obstacles because people actually strengthen their identification with body as self if they're not paying attention to what's really going on, which is the meditation. Meditators should consider doing hatha yoga because, again, when we sit to meditate, often one of the very first things we find ourselves up against the wall in is our posture, our body, the aches, the pains. And, with hatha yoga, we can lessen that. It's not a sin to lessen dukkha.
Very good. Now, your piece in our current issue, called Taking Mindfulness to the Mat, is about applying the Buddha's four foundations of mindfulness to Hatha Yoga. Why are the four foundations so helpful to yoga and meditation practitioners alike?
I believe they're really helpful. I practiced for years in a Zen tradition that, you know, you don't really hear too much about the four foundations. They're usually thought of as a Theravadan, a Vipassana teaching. But in the Vietnamese Zen tradition, they also had a transmission from the South, so I was first exposed to the four foundations of mindfulness through Thich Nhat Hanh on a retreat. And as far as I was concerned, the light bulb went immediately off. It was like, this would be perfect. First of all, the first two foundations, if you think about it, the first is the body. The second is feelings, but the felt tone, not emotions, the felt tone of our experience, sensation and the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral aspect of feeling. So you're talking about the body right there, and obviously in hatha yoga, the practice of asanas, and as I just said, even when we're just sitting, the body is a huge component of our experience. So the four foundations, I believe, allow us a kind of very broad, it's not so specific that it limits us, but it gives us a nice broad model and map to our experience, because a lot can be going on when we're, you know, doing, for instance, especially if it's an asana class, any asana, there's so many different things to pay attention to. So when we bring the four foundations of mindfulness, it's just like, you know, we can tone in our awareness into specific aspects of our experience and therefore actually feel more embodied, be more present. So I think of the four foundations as kind of guides to our experience, not imposed upon our experience, but a guide to what's happening, you know. So when we know that certain things may arise, then we're more alert to seeing it. And that's really why I think they're really helpful. And the more you practice with it, the more subtle you can see and explore your experience.
Now, you'll be interacting with Shambhala Sunspace readers in an online Q&A wherein they can ask you about yoga and Buddhism. Are there frequently asked questions or common misconceptions that students bring to you?
Yeah, I think there's several. There's a lot of misconception about what meditation is, what mindfulness is, and so sometimes, you know, you just have to start right with that. One of my earliest meditation teachers said that if you think of meditation as completely emptying the mind of all thoughts, then you'd better off just getting hit over the head with a baseball bat. That may happen in practice, but it's not something we do. You know, mind clears naturally. But in the meantime, you're still practicing mindfulness of what's going on in the mind. So, and I find that a really dangerous misconception, because a lot of people sit to meditate. They find the nature of the mind to be as crazy as the nature of the mind is, and think that there's something wrong with them, and they stop. And so that's a real common misconception that I like to clear up right away. A more broad kind of misconception goes back to the first question you asked me. We recently finished a training at Spirit Rock for yoga teachers to bring in the teachings of the Buddha on mindfulness. One of the students at the end said that although she had found in her own life, in her own experience, an integration of mindfulness with the hatha yoga practice, when she went to her hatha yoga teacher and asked him about the relationship between yoga and Buddhism, he just very curtly said, there is none. And again, the yoga tradition predates Buddhism and Hinduism. Both Hinduism, hatha yoga, all the various forms of yoga, and Buddhism kind of arose from this common pool. And so I like to think of it as, you know, the Buddha and Patanjali, for instance, who's seen as the great sage of classical yoga, as being more like brothers from the same parents but raised by different families. And so there's a lot more commonality than we tend to think. There are certainly distinctions, and I think we should celebrate and learn from the distinctions. You know, I found that in dialogue with other yogis, I become more clear about my own practice, my own beliefs. So I think it's really important.
Wonderful. Well, I know that our readers are very lucky to be able to engage with you with their questions about Buddhism and yoga, and I look forward to seeing what happens and seeing what kind of questions and misconceptions are cleared up by you. So thank you very much, Frank Jude.
Well, I'm looking forward to it too. Thank you, Rod.
You bet. That was Frank Jude Boccio joining me to talk about Buddhism and yoga and his online interactive Q&A on Shambhala Sunspace about them, which you can participate in by leaving a comment on this post. You'll find Taking Mindfulness to the Mat, Frank Jude's latest contribution to the Shambhala Sun, in our July 2009 issue. And for lots more on the topic, visit our special Yoga and Buddhism page or the current issue page on ShambhalaSun.com. This is Rod Mead Sperry, and thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.